It's time to meet up and catch up at the Weekend Water Cooler. Now, here's your host, Gene Bolduc.
And welcome to the Weekend Water Cooler. We're joined today by the one and only Barbara Fushi, Carrboro's leading alderwoman. What does that even mean? I don't know.
I don't know what it means either, Gene.
It means they shove you to the front and they say, you go first.
You go first. You talk first.
Right. You go first. And Barbara's wearing this wonderful T-shirt that says Tobacconists and O2, and I with a tobacco leaf on it, and a media sponsor on the sleeve that I won't mention.
Channel something.
And it's WRAL. Let's just give credit where credit's
due. Channel 5, WRAL.
We'll give them credit. I've never seen that logo before, and so Barbara was telling me where this came from, so please just rewind and tell us once again. I think it's amazing.
So the Durham Tobacconist, founded in 1902, was the city of Durham's first professional baseball team, and that was the name of it, prior to becoming the Durham Bulls.
I wonder how it came to pass that they turned into the Bulls.
I'm not sure. We need to look that up.
We're going to
see what that is, because now that brings more questions.
I know. It's just my curiosity.
Because I'm not sure what year they became the Durham Bulls either.
Well, you know, I'm just remembering that from Bull Durham.
Bull Durham was back in the 90s.
That's when the movie was made.
But the Durham Bulls was even before that.
But that was about the Durham Bulls back. Was that set in the 60s?
Keep talking. I'm going to look, because
you know those teams that were minor league teams where they traveled around and the team would get the guys jobs day jobs that they could have so they could play baseball. That goes back to the 30s.
Mm-hmm.
So you know they could have become the Bulls sometime around then, the 20s or 30s.
Around the 20s or the 30s?
I'm thinking it could be. And now Barbara, through the miracle of the internet, is going to straighten me out on this.
No, I'm not going to. I'm just trying to look. Let's keep talking, and then I'll let you know when I find our answer.
So you went to a game. This is the first Bulls game you went to this year. How was it?
It was wonderful. My favorite part about going to Durham Bulls games is the mascot.
Yeah,
I'm always cheering
Wooly Bull.
I jump up and I scream. As Willie Bull comes out at the beginning of every game, and my husband just falls out laughing every single time I'm up. I'm like, Woo! E Bull! Woo! Willie! That's me every game.
Oh, man.
So I go for the mascot. Isn't that terrible?
And Braxton is there with the sunglasses and the big floppy
and
hat.
And laughing.
Saying, I never met this woman in my life. I have no idea who she is.
Oh, man.
She just sat down next to me. What am I going to do?
I
don't know. Security, get down here, please.
But it's just the highlight of every Bulls game for me is the scream for the mascot.
You know, I just defy anybody to go to a Bulls game and not have a great time.
You just have a good time every time you go.
We were out there one time on the well down on the first baseline, really about halfway into the outfield. And my husband, bless his heart, is out there with his this is a man at that time in his mid-60s with his baseball glove on. Okay.
Your husband.
Yeah. Now, my husband loved baseball when he was a kid. He was a pitcher, and he really, really loved baseball. So he's out there with a mitt on his hand, like a little kid in a grown man's body, out there hoping for a foul ball. And sure enough, this foul ball comes out, comes to the row behind us, and hits a kid, like, on the side of his leg. And, you know, this ball was moving pretty good, okay? And I'm looking at Rick like, you couldn't have caught that? Look at this poor kid is crying now. What's the deal, man? You're going to lose your contract as an outfielder if you can't catch these balls. I thought you brought this glove for a reason. I'm giving him all kinds of stuff about it. And the, my orthopedist office, Triangle Orthopedics, they're the official orthopedists of the Durham Bulls.
They sure are. Mm-hmm.
And the guy comes out and he's got an ice pack for the kid. And it's really great. You know, the kid's crying, but it's not, you know, look, he's hit on the side of his leg, which I've been hit by a baseball in my life. I was hit in the shin by a line drive when I was pitching in a softball league. And I'm telling you, that hurts. And
it, I'm sure it does.
It didn't hurt this kid any less. But I'd rather see it hit his leg than his head or anything, you know, really important. So, not that your legs aren't important, kids.
All extremities are important.
But we were all kind of having fun with it because, you know, we figured that this is a way to signal to a child that I know it stings right now, but it's going to be okay. Mm-hmm. It's scary, but it's okay. So they lavished this child with the appropriate attention to make sure he was quite fine. And of course, he got to keep the ball. Hello. Mm-hmm. And so Rick is sitting there, kind of. Okay, well, I'm like, yeah, what are the chances there's another one coming your way? Mm-hmm. And it's like he was kind of disappointed the rest of the game, you know.
You gotta,
like,
let the kid have it.
You missed his chance. Well, you know, you could have caught it. And guess what? If he had caught it, I would have made him give it to that kid.
Give it to the kid.
Or give it to one of
my kids.
Well, my kids are grown-ups by that point, but I probably would have made him give it to that kid.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can buy you got five baseballs sitting on a shelf at home. You can just, you have enough baseballs. This kid's at a baseball game. Give him the ball. So anyway, I love the Bulls. I love going to a Bulls game and a Hurricanes game. And honestly, going to see the Hurricanes, every time I've gone, I couldn't care less who won the game.
It was just being there.
That makes me a bad fan, but mm-hmm. it's so much fun.
Just being in there.
Mm-hmm. They make it such an event throughout the game. If the team is up, everybody's going crazy. And if the team is not up, everybody's going
crazy. Still going crazy.
To help them score.
Just for being in there.
And I really feel like those franchises know what they're doing with what they have, which is fans who are coming out to experience an event. And it's not so much strictly winning or losing. So mm-hmm. that's my take on the Durham Bulls. And I love the ballpark, too.
I love the ballpark.
I mean, I love the way the ballpark's designed. Mm-hmm. I think it's...
Don't forget about the food.
I can't even talk about the food.
Ooh, the food.
I gained 5 pounds right there just because you said the
man.
Food.
It seemed like I have to have that Rita's custard every time I go in there.
Why did you mention
Rita's? Is always the best. I like the twist with the chocolate and vanilla.
I know you do.
I had to get a cup
I
yesterday.
Got Barbara with a twist.
Oh, it was great.
Yeah, delicious. So now we're doing a foodie radio program at the water cooler with the food.
Oh, not to mention the Bright Leaf hot dogs, the red ones.
The red ones?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
What's in those? Does anybody know?
What, the red ones? Yeah. It's probably something that ain't good for
you. It's probably something awful in
but
there.
But I don't eat them often.
You know, that doesn't happen in nature, a hot dog, anyway.
No, that's mechanically processed somewhere in a factory.
My daughter-in-law calls that tube steak. I'm sure you've heard of that. Tube steak.
I haven't heard of tube steak.
That's what a hot dog is.
But people devour them.
I know they do. You know those other hot dogs that are good are at the doghouse. I should not confess to this.
Collie, boxer.
What is in there?
Yeah. It's the toppings.
It's the same hot dog, right?
It's the toppings.
It's that red hot dog.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not a red hot. That's a whole different thing.
You know, it's dye. It's some kind of dye.
It's some kind of
But
toxic,
I grew up on those. You know. Bright Leaf is, I feel like Bright Leaf is a Down East thing.
Oh, yeah?
That's made its way up here. I feel like Bright Leaf, I don't know where. For some reason, I feel like it's Down East, but I'm not quite sure where they're made. But I eat the Bright Leaf hot dogs and the Red Hots whenever I get an opportunity.
Yeah, and you know, a little chow chow.
Cliff's Meat Market has those.
Oh, yeah?
Cliff's Meat Market
no
in
way.
Carver. Shout out to Cliff's Meat Market.
All right, Cliff's.
Yeah.
You know, I love Cliff's.
That's where I find them up here.
I'm telling you, you never know what's going to turn up in Cliff's.
Mm-mm.
You know what I'm saying?
He got some stuff.
Could be something exotic in there. Something really exotic. Well, I just think that is just absolutely amazing. And this all comes from, probably, Durham celebrating its 150th birthday.
And they are.
Happy birthday, Durham.
They got off to
a difficult start that first day,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, with that terrible explosion.
Yeah.
But man, they've got events going all year long. In fact, I'm working on an event for a client of mine, and that's going to be one of their Durham 150 events down in October. And Boy, the city is just pulling out all the stops, mm-hmm. and there's so much going on in Durham. It's so exciting to see.
Downtown Durham is...
It's completely transformed,
Barbara. It is amazing. Every time I ride through there or I go down there for something, I'm just like, wait, did I see that last week?
I was here a week
ago. Was that there?
Yeah, I know it.
And then when you walk through it, it's even more. You just discover more as you just walk through different parts of Durham.
And you want to talk about food. Holy mackerel.
Everywhere.
And mm-hmm. it's wonderful. Mm-hmm. It's absolutely wonderful. So you'd never know this was a Chapel Hill radio show. We're gonna
back to Chapel Hill, Carrboro,
Listens. We're gonna continue on with Barbara Fouché in just a moment. You're listening to 97.9 The Hill, the Weekend Water Cooler. Don't go away. We'll be right back. And we're back with Barbara Fouché, and we're talking about all things Carrboro, of course. And right now, so it's the beginning of May, and that means whether it's Carrboro or Chapel Hill or Hillsborough or the county, it's all things budget. Money, money, money. Follow the money. Follow that money, Barbara.
Yes, follow the money.
So tell us what is happening. So we're recording on Monday. This will air on the weekend. And so by the time this airs, you will have had your first meeting where you do your first run through of the manager's budget.
Yes.
And you have the packet. What's the bottom line? What's your process for all of this?
The town of Carrboro's budget will be presented tomorrow night, which is May 7th, for the very first time mm-hmm. to the public. There have been several meetings between the Board of Aldermen and the town manager, as well as our finance director, to get to this point so mm-hmm. that, we know what's going to be presented. We know what each alderman and the mayor have put into the budget as far as requests. And the second meeting was with the town manager and our finance director, Arch McAdoo, to just kind of go over that. It was a presentation of everybody's input and also is what the town manager deemed important and priority-wise as well as the finance director.
Now, at that point, when you're getting the very first presentation of the budget,
mm-hmm.
so let's say that that Alderman Fouché puts in a request for parking spaces for unicorns, and this is going to cost $10,000.
Mm-hmm.
And the manager looks at that and says, well, Miss Barbara, that's kind of ridiculous, so I'm not going to include that in the budget. Or does he put everything in and then you start taking things out?
Yeah, so the town manager serves at the pleasure of the Board of Aldermen.
Yes.
So therefore, if there were parking spaces for unicorns requested,
it would go in. It would start in the budget.
It would start in there.
And then the board,
not likely,
right.
that it would finish there.
Yes.
But the town manager, our town manager, Mr. David Andrews, is very good at including, what we request to be put into the budget.
Right.
Yeah.
And then the board makes that decision to pull things out.
So we make the decision. We start with everything in the pot, and then we take out or reduce money or add money, as we move through the budget cycle, because this is just the beginning.
Right.
This is going to go on probably for, there may be a couple of work sessions.
It's a good 2 months.
Right. Yeah. Because we're out of session at the end of June, and we have to, of course, approve the budget by then.
Right.
We have to have a public hearing.
Right.
So, this is just the beginning of the budget process.
Right. Which is always so much fun, isn't it? Because I know that you have, $10 zillion of need and not $10 zillion. I mean, this is true, I think, for almost any community around here, but especially our community, which is growing. And broadly speaking, that's probably a good thing. But man, this is where the rubber meets the road mm-hmm. as an elected official, I find. I think that sometimes you have to make some tough choices. And it looks like the commissioners are facing up to it, too, that the story I saw the other day said that the county commissioners are looking at, do we take one hit now That's a big one for taxes, or do we do three smaller ones?
I think we're all looking at that because I've also read that from the county commissioners. Certainly the town manager for Chapel Hill, Maurice Jones, spoke to that when their budget was presented, I think, last Wednesday night. Mm-hmm. And in our conversations with our own town manager, it certainly came up.
Yeah.
And I am not, I feel like it's not this year. But I feel like the conversation may start to be had this year for it to come, you know, at some point in the near future.
Yeah, yeah. What do you think is the main thing that's driving, that's going to drive taxes up?
So level of service, you know, to the community members for one thing. Employee benefits for another. Mm-hmm. Health insurance premiums.
Still going on.
Retirement. Yeah. You know, retirement changes to the retirement retirement system, you know, for our employees. Those were certainly two things that came up in the midst of budget conversation. And also the addition of money for a comprehensive plan for the town. Mm-hmm. There's certainly placeholder money that's being put in now. Mm-hmm. We're also getting involved with the GARE initiative, which is the Government Alliance for Racial Equity. Mm-hmm. We're starting to get involved with that, and that requires money. So, I mean, there's a lot of things that are pulling at the budget.
Yeah.
And I just want to touch on flooding really quick.
Yeah.
As we did implement the Stormwater Enterprise Fund last year. And money has been coming into that fund. And that fund is designed for staff members, mm-hmm. for stormwater management, mm-hmm. Education, mm-hmm. and infrastructure.
Yeah.
But just realizing that...
that's going to change so much in the
planning
process.
It's going to change a lot. But then just realizing that we have to wait until that money gets in there at a certain level before we can really start to be impactful, you know, with helping with the flooding. And we've you know had a good bit of input from the community. Input from the community.
We didn't have to put any beeps in there or anything.
Right.
Yes.
We've had a good bit of input from community members that are very concerned about flooding. You know, as climate change changes a lot of things.
It sure does.
It changes how much precipitation we're getting, you know, the frequency, the direct. I mean, it changes a lot of things.
Yeah.
And therefore, you know, the flooding continues to be an issue, and we hear the community members, and we're doing all we can within the boundaries of local government.
Exactly, and you know that's where the thing about this comprehensive planning and this a more regional approach just makes a lot of sense.
It makes perfect sense.
It makes perfect sense. In fact, it's the only competent way to do such a thing. You've just got to, you know, in investigating. Crime and corruption in government, we say follow the money, but in this case, you just got to follow the water.
Mm-hmm.
You got to know where it's coming from and where it is going to go, whether you like it or not, because there are laws of physics involved that we don't have the right, you know, or ability to override. So the water's going to go where it's going to go. And then the more water there is, you know, the ground can only absorb so much. And This informs, of course, all kinds of issues in development and where you put roads and whether or not there are bridges that can that are high enough to be still feasible, and whether or not you can build anything in some of the low-lying areas. And Carrboro's a remarkably hilly place. You don't think of it that way so much because I think of Carrboro and I think of downtown, you know. But there's an awful lot of there's a pretty steep drop off, right? Just a couple of blocks away from Main Street, there's a pretty serious drop.
Over by the post office,
right?
Plantation Acres community
and Plantation Acres over there too.
Tom's Creek,
right? I mean it's an amazing diversity of topographies.
It
I
is
guess, for such a small geographic place. And the government is limited in what it can do, both by the wealth that it has, But also just the scope of only so many square miles.
Legally.
Yeah,
and also there's legal ramifications to how far we can go, you know, to help with the flooding. But certainly, as always, we hear the community members and we are working as intently as we can, you know, to address those flooding issues in the way that we can. And that is going to be through the Stormwater Enterprise Fund. That is the main way that we're going to try to get a hold of, you know, some of these flooding issues.
Yeah. And, we're all going to have to deal with this. I mean, you know, whether even if you're in, you know, a relatively elevated area, I still think the intensity with which we've had rainfall
I think it can create problems anywhere.
It's just amazing.
It just depends. It depends on what's happening. We've had the road to flood down, you know, by my own house at the intersection of Estes and Greensboro.
Yeah, and you wouldn't expect it there.
And I'm just like, huh?
Really?
Wait.
And how long have you lived there?
2006.
Yeah, that's a good while. And you haven't seen that like you have in the last couple of years, right?
Yeah, but it was amazing to me when I did see it that time. I was just like, okay, wait, what's going on here?
Now, see, I live up near Camp New Hope, and I've lived there for 30 years in the same house. And we've seen some flooding along 86 near Allen's Barbecue. Rest in peace.
I know exactly where you're at the railroad track.
And man, you know, that creek has been up there over
the
banks.
And what creek is that? I know.
That's New Hope Creek.
That's right.
Runs right through my property. And we're looking out the window of our kitchen saying, wow, you could see the creek from here. We've never seen that. And we've lived there for a long time. So it's different. It's conspicuously different. And I think everybody's rightly concerned about it. And I'm glad that if this is going to have to happen, that I live in this county where, you know, everybody in the elected apparatus has their eyes wide open.
Yeah, everybody's kind of all over that. All the jurisdictions, I think, are just like kind of all over it. And not to mention our community climate change action plan, you know, that we're working to implement through the town. And we also have on staff, she's still kind of new, Laura, she's our environmental planner. So we're still also...
You have an environmental...
We have an environmental planner. That's we have a transportation awesome. Planner as well.
That's
His name
they
is
work,
Zachary.
I bet they work closely together.
And they have a lot of work. They're coming into a lot of work because the Carborough community...
It affects everything.
It affects everything and, you know, the environment and climate change and transportation, you know. People are really pushing for what they want.
Yeah.
More so than now than ever. And their expectation is for us to deliver in some way.
And by the way, I mean, you know, they happen to have they have a very responsive local government, and it takes up a lot of the slack for the fact that we don't feel like the federal government, you know, has anything to do with us anymore.
Right.
On some level. So, you know.
What federal government?
Yeah. Who are those guys?
So, I don't even know who they are. Okay.
Exactly. That's how it wraps up for me.
Yeah.
So we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to be back with more with Barbara Fushi. We're listening to 97.9 The Hill. Don't go away. Well, we're back with Barbara Fushi, and we're discussing whether or not I can learn math. You know, when I took this job, I was told there'd be no math. So all I have to do is figure out what time it is and how many minutes we have left, and I have devices to tell me that. So, you know, basically I'm math-free for 1 hour, or what feels like 1 hour anyway. Well, let's talk about the up-and-coming excitement in Carborough. Of course, this will be in the fall. Every fall is exciting in Carborough, but this fall we're going to have some elections.
Yeah, we are.
And I know my good friend Damon has filed.
Yes.
And I know that my good friend Lydia has filed.
Uh-huh.
And has anybody else filed who's on the board?
No.
Any other incumbents?
No. And unfortunately,
Bethany
has decided not to seek re-election.
Bethany's retiring. That's right. Now, were those the only three that were up?
Sammy Slate is up.
Sammy is up, and he hasn't announced yet?
He has not. Not formally.
He's keeping us in suspense.
That's Sammy.
That is Sammy.
That's Sammy Slate.
What do you think? He's just going to have an event. He's going to do like LeBron.
I know he doesn't do that.
He's going to have a big ESPN.
That's not Sammy Slate. I think he'll come out at some point and just kind of let people know what he's going to do.
If I was willing to wager,
I think he's going to run for re-election.
Okay.
But you know, I'm not sure.
Never can tell.
There's just still so much work to be done with climate change, and he's a huge advocate, and he pushes a lot of things with climate change.
He sure does.
And I think that may be one thing that'll drive him back to run for re-election.
Do it, Sammy. Do it.
Do it, Sammy.
I'll tell you what, and I'm not advocating for you know, I'm not endorsing any candidates,
obviously. Okay.
But I will tell you this. In my experience with Carrboro, really watching that board fairly closely for the last, I hate to say this, for like the last 20 years, I just don't think Carrboro comes up with a bad candidate yet. I can't think of anybody that I've gone, boy, what a dud.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't say so, of course, even if that were true. But Carrboro is blessed with an awful lot of really committed, wicked smart people, many of whom volunteer to serve the town any way they can, some of whom end up getting elected to elected office. But you got great incumbents, and you'll probably have great challengers, and you always have civil election races that are about issues and not about, you know,
people
nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
And if the world ran like Carrboro, we'd all be better off. It's the little town that could, if you ask me.
Mm-hmm.
And you did ask me at some point. You must have asked me something.
Okay, Jean.
All right, you must have asked me something. So tell me what you think and what you know about what do you think the biggest issue is going to be in the race?
Definitely think the flooding. I think flooding's going to come in simply because it has been.
It gets your attention.
It's been front and center quite a bit lately. So I think flooding. I still also the comprehensive plan. There could be questions, or I don't think there would be any concerns about it. But I think. You know, some questions could come up revolving around that, mm-hmm. whether or not to pave or not pave.
To pave or not to pave.
At Bowling Creek. Yeah. That still has not. That was came up when I was running in 2017. So we still have yet to make a decision. I feel like that's going to come in as well. And potentially decisions that have been made, like decisions about Lloyd Farm.
Yeah, I was just going to say.
You know, that voted for it, I was one. Mm-hmm. And those that did not, Damon did not vote for it, and neither did Sammy.
Mm-hmm.
But five of us did. And
the
few of us that are up for re-election may have to answer for that or not.
Mm-hmm.
Not sure.
We'll see what people
care
about.
See what people say.
Because
definitely the decisions that we make can come back, you know, when we... If and when we seek re-election.
Right.
You
know. So I haven't been out there in a while, so forgive me for not knowing, but has anything happened? Has any of the land been cleared? Has anything begun on that project?
No, nothing has begun.
Well, that's probably why it won't come up.
Right. But I don't know. Maybe it won't. I mean, you know, I heard somebody say, and I don't remember who it was, when we took that vote, that it could potentially... come back to bite.
Maybe not as a
question, because it's a past thing.
Right.
The vote has been taken, but people might look and say, oh, well, you voted for Lloyd Farm, or oh, you didn't vote for it. Or, I mean, you know what I mean? And then use that as, you know, part of, you know, trying to gather information about who to vote for.
But, you know, this year passes, and then like the beginning of next year, they start clearing the land. And all of a sudden, everybody's going, what in the world is happening out there?
Mm-hmm.
And who decided this? And and that's when everybody's like, that's when it becomes real to
mm-hmm.
them. It's not
it's
like
not
when
at
it was
that
approved
point
2 years ago. So
They're still navigating
so the jury's
permits
probably,
and things through planning and
zoning. The jury's
zoning.
Probably still out about
still out
whether
on
or not
that.
People are going to get riled
mm-hmm.
up about it.
Yeah.
Even though there was no shortage of opinion about that all the way through a remarkably protracted process. A remarkably open and honest process,
mm-hmm.
in my opinion. But boy, this took a long, long time, and it's not easy. It's not easy from any side of that equation.
Yeah, that was my first hard vote, and
I
was really nervous about that vote. And
I believe it.
You know, I just tried to gather as much information as I could and just make like a really good informed decision for the developer.
Yes.
As well as for the surrounding community that could be impacted, you know, by the development. So I just really tried to, I considered mine a pretty decent middle of the road vote, and I took everybody's situation into account.
Right.
The developer was asked when it was voted down in 2016, it's my understanding that the developer was asked to make some changes and then bring it back.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, when you ask somebody to do that, you say, look, make these changes and come back, then I think it's not out of the realm of you know, positive thinking that the developer is expecting, hey, I'm going to fix this. I'm going to do this the way you want me to.
If I do what
you want me to do, then I'm expecting yay,
yeah,
you know, from the majority of the board.
Because that's real money for the developer.
That is money. And see, in 2016, certainly there was the opportunity to say, you know, with all due respect, we don't think this is a good project for Carrboro, no matter what you do. We just think it's not a good project.
We don't see a fix.
So, right. please, don't spend your money and your time, you know, to bring it back before the board.
Right.
But that's not what was said. And that weighed into my decision as well, because it's like, you got to be fair, you know, to the developer as well as to the community. And I felt like that 5-2 vote, I think it was pretty fair. Damon and Sammy voted pretty much because of the density or the lack of.
Right.
And, you know, it's a principal thing for both of them.
Right.
And I also think Sammy had a really big issue, you know, with the huge parking lot that Harris Teeter is going to require, you know, the impervious surface associated with that as it relates to, you know, the climate change and, you know, everything in between.
That's stormwater.
Right. And so they just it's the same vote they gave, you know, a few years back.
And I bet that previously, we'll have to take a break in just a second, but I bet that previously they would have said, no, don't send it back. Don't make those changes. Just because we don't want it. We didn't want it before. We don't want it now.
Exactly.
And so they were consistent. And I don't have any problem with somebody having a principled position.
And that's what it was
and
with
then
Damon.
Damon and Sammy.
So you know, I absolutely respect that.
Yeah.
And we do have one person that has said that they will run for the Board of Aldermen, and that is Susan Romaine.
Okay.
Susan Romaine lives out in Lake Hogan Farms.
Uh-huh.
She is known mainly for her work with Porch,
mm-hmm.
Orange County Living Wage, and she used to be the chair of the Lake Hogan Farms precinct.
Okay.
But because she's decided to run, of course, she's not.
She's out of that.
Right. But that's what Susan is mainly known for in and around the community. So she is the one person that has come out and said she was going to run.
And there's nobody else?
I thought there was one other.
No?
Not yet. Okay. I haven't heard of anybody else, but I anticipate at least a couple more people.
Well, I hope they do. I mean, it's always good to have, you know, have a race and have people talking about the issues from different perspectives.
Yes.
Because that usually gives you a good healthy board, mm-hmm. I think.
It does.
So that's terrific. We'll look forward to that. And I know you're going to be our senior campaign correspondent for this race, Barbara.
Why?
Because I said so, and it's my show. So so we're going to come back for our final moments with Barbara Fucci. You're listening to The Weekend Water Cooler on 97.9 The Hill. Don't go away. We'll be right back. Okay, we're back with Barbara Fucci. She's looking through the window here.
Red Bull!
In the studio at the Chinese restaurant across the way here at University Place. And she's starting to describe foods to me.
I know. I haven't had Chinese in a while.
Yeah, see? I think I know where this is going. This
yeah.
is like our whole conversation about the Durham Bulls ended up being about the food.
Yeah.
So now it's all about being on the radio
at WCHL.
You know, that's just so unfair because you can't keep a pound on you. You don't have an extra ounce on your body. Where does it go? Maybe don't tell me that. Okay. You don't have to tell me everything.
I spend a lot of time running around doing stuff.
Yeah, you have that metabolism that everybody wants.
Yeah, and then my metabolism, fortunately, is still kind of high.
It's super high speed.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have the opposite metabolism. I will tell you, though, I'm diabetic. I think a lot of people know that. If they don't, they sure do now. When I was a teenager and a pre-teenager, I looked just like you. I just was. And
I'm far from a teenager or a preteen.
And my siblings the same way. We were all little bean poles. They used to call me Jeannie Bean. I know you find that shocking. And if you call me that now, you'll get hurt.
Jeannie Bean.
Only my siblings get to do that. But I thought this was terrible. You know, I just had to, my mother had to alter my clothes and, you know, but I could just, you know, you get used to that. I could eat absolutely everything and anything and I wouldn't gain any weight.
Mm-hmm.
It's a bad habit when you're a kid. Don't do that, kids. Eat sensibly. even if you don't have to.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
And then you grow up to be like Barbara.
Woo!
Like Wooly Bull. Okay. Our final topic today is one close to our hearts, yours and mine, affordable housing. Tell us the exciting news that's happening in Carrboro about affordable housing.
So Shelton Station.
Yes.
Which is on North Greensboro Street near Fitch Lumber.
Yep.
There is a commercial component of Shelton Station that sits closer to North Greensboro, and the residential component sits behind the commercial.
It's set back. Okay.
There are 94 units there.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
20 of which, drum roll please. 20 of which should be affordable units coming online.
Fantastic.
10 for folks that are 60% of the AMI, 10 for folks that may be 80% of the AMI.
Right.
So still working through the details on those units, but certainly that is a prime downtown location, on the bus line, close to grocery shopping, food,
everything you would need in case you
did not have a car.
Yes. And attractive for people who want to live in a place where they don't have to have a car.
Exactly. And they're very nice units. I was fortunate enough to get a tour a few weeks back. So they're nice units and nicely situated, I think, you know, set back that far from North Greensboro. Incredible views, from every unit. And just really proud of those affordable units that
How
will
many
be
stories
coming online.
Is that?
One, two,
I think it's
three.
I think it's three, right? How long did that take to develop that project? Because, it seems like it's four or five years, isn't it?
I wasn't on the board when the CUP was approved. I feel like I remember seeing on the paperwork potentially 2013 or so.
Yeah, that's more like
and maybe six. Even prior to that, like the work that got came, you know, up
right.
to that point.
So much,
that was the approval date,
right?
But even before that,
okay. So much like
because it was very controversial when it first
like
came
Lloyd
to the board.
Farm. Much like Lloyd Farm, there was a whole process.
It was a
before
process.
Anything was applied for,
and there were folks that didn't want it. Yeah. Right there. They felt like that was a residential area and the commercial component, I think, is what was getting people. But it might have been the whole thing that they didn't feel like should be situated there. But the board decided that it was okay.
I guess in their defense, if they feel like it's at that time, is like strictly residential, that if you allow for a commercial component to come in, it's always going to be about traffic, right? That it's just going to bring greater traffic. Mm-hmm. But, in that area specifically, I wonder if it won't be mainly foot traffic because
of the
so much of the attraction.
I haven't heard anybody talk about traffic from right there ever since
the commercial
component's
right.
been there, for a minute. And I think a lot
it's
of
on
the,
a main drag.
It's
anyway.
On the it's on the main drag, and I think some people have cars that they drive there to work, but then I think some walk, and then I think some use the bus line.
Right.
So I think people are using a variety of ways to get there. I don't think it's overcrowded with cars by any means.
Do they have nice bicycle and unicorn parking?
There's bike parking there.
It could be unicorn parking. You don't know. That could be multi-use parking, including unicorns.
I believe all there is right now is for the bikes, of course.
It's only the bikes are only what you can see.
Okay.
Okay.
The unicorns is what you can't
that's
see.
Right. There could be Easter Bunny parking as well as Santa sleigh. There could be Santa sleigh. I'm trying to think what else there might be. NC State fan parking. There's bound to be a State fan somewhere.
Right here.
Are you a State fan?
Oh, sure.
You're the one. Okay.
I'm the one.
Well, you're the one. You're the one State fan in Carrboro. Yeah.
Probably.
Well, so I guess.
Our mayor.
I guess you can.
Mayor Lydia LaVelle, NC State.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah.
Was she work there or something? Or she has to be? Or she graduate?
I feel like she went to school there.
Did she go to school there?
I feel like.
Central, are you sure? She works at Central.
I'm not sure if she went to school, but I know she's an NC State fan.
Well, I forgive
and
her.
And I think she had a nephew that also went to school there and graduated from there.
I wrote plenty of tuition
but
checks.
But she's been an NC State fan for as long as I've known her. So I feel like there's some connection with her education.
Do you see the diversity in my heart? I love Lydia, and I never knew that. And it doesn't make me love her one bit less.
Well, thank you.
Well, good for you, Lydia.
She and I follow NC State athletics.
I know you do. Well, my son graduated from NC State. Yeah. I love him, too. See, I can.
Thank
I can,
you.
I
we
can
appreciate
be diverse.
That. Love us regardless.
Hey, look, I have friends that went to Duke. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
I mean, I have an open heart about who my friends can be.
Okay.
You know, until the game is on, and then you know we have to suspend that for a little while, and then you know how that goes.
I do.
You know, these are rules. I mean, we don't. I didn't make this up. I do draw the line about the Yankees, though. I'm a lifelong Red Sox fan. My brother-in-law is a Yankees fan. And, you know, look, we're related, and that's the way it is.
That's just
there's nothing
it
I
is.
Can do about it. You know, these rivalries are so wonderful, and we enjoy them so much. You can't be a Red Sox fan if you don't have the Yankees. It just wouldn't be the same thing. So you know, when it comes to the Wolfpack, you know how I feel about that.
That's fine.
I feel about it. Go Heels. You know, and then when the game's over, we're pals again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's good.
It's all good.
Well, Barbara, you know, I think it's always a joy to have you at the Weekend Water
Cooler. Can I give a last shout out?
Give me one last shout
out. One last shout out to the Town of Carrboro's Affordable Housing Advisory Commission, affectionately known as the AHAC. It is chaired by my former campaign manager and community organizer extraordinaire.
And special correspondent for the Weekend Water Cooler.
Of course, Mr. Quentin Harper.
The greatest. The greatest.
They are doing amazing work through that commission trying to increase the stock of affordable housing in Carrboro.
And he needs to come on this program and talk
and
about
that
for
one solid
hour.
And it's probably
time
for him
hour.
To come back yes. on because he would be excellent. He could spend the whole hour just talking about
he
the
sure
amazing
could.
Work that they
he
do.
Sure
but
could.
I did want to give a shout out to them.
Well, I thank you for that. And Quentin, I'll be in touch soon. I'll wait for this to air and then I'll start bombarding him with email requests for interviews. Barbara, thank you so much for
thank
coming
on. Thank you for having
me,
Jean.
And thanks for wearing that shirt. I love it.
Durham Tobacconist.
Yeah, everybody have a great weekend. We'll see you next week.
Follow Jean on Twitter at Jean Bolduc and tweet your comments and questions with the hashtag WCHL.